Gene Boldick is with us, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, or in this case, a very small percentage of all the things that have people upset on social media this week. And we decide, is it a thing or is it not really a thing? There's a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah, you know, you could say that it's a sign that the silly season has come back, but that it's a good sign. But I don't think it is necessarily.
Yeah.
There's just the nonsense quotient is kind of growing on the right. You know, there are ridiculous things that the president's saying, but that's sort of what you expect from him. But there does seem to be, I guess, just a growing frustration in the inability to politicize a public health emergency that is ongoing. You know, it's like there's a certain element in our society that just can't stand it if you have to be nice all the time. You know?
Yeah, they're all on social media. It's pretty.
And
wild.
They all have a Twitter account. Yeah.
I mean, everyone has a Twitter account. It's whether you use it or not is the question. So
well, that's a good point.
So let's start with this one, which was at the top of both of our lists when we were comparing this week. Reopen
right.
NC. This is the kind of grassroots movement. It's got 20-some thousand followers on Facebook very quickly, and they had the protest at the state capitol in Raleigh earlier this week, really urging Governor Cooper to end the stay-at-home order and throw open the state to business as soon as humanly possible. And there's similar movements, a really big protest in Michigan earlier this week that got a lot of attention, but Ohio's having one, Wisconsin's having one, kind of similar people and similar protests with a similar message at various states. So thing, not a thing.
I think... I'm always a person who's going to embrace the idea of protest, even when I don't agree with the protest, you know, the protester, for example. I'm a person who would say, let the Klan march down Franklin Street as long as they do it with their hoods off, because it helps us all know who's in the Klan, for one thing. But also because I'm all about the First Amendment, and for me, that's the Bible. And, you know, I think even though I completely disagree with the Klan, I think that they should have the right to protest within the rules of how we allow people to protest and have parades and so forth. And I would feel the same way about this, except this is different because it actually does provably compromise public health for people to convene in such a way. And so I get that. I feel like that's a dilemma.
Mm.
Now, on the other hand, I couldn't help but notice that an awful lot of these protesters were wearing masks.
Yeah.
So if their theory is that the risk is being exaggerated for political purposes, for example, then why are you wearing a mask?
There are ways to do this protest that are not in violation of public safety. You stay in your cars for one thing. That's something that
right.
pretty much all of these demonstrations start out with. Yeah, we're going to stay in our cars. We're going to maintain social distancing. And then invariably everyone gets out of their cars and walks
Somebody
around and
out,
mingles
right.
with each
right.
other. Right. But, you know, stay in your cars, do the horn honking thing. If that's what you decide on, you can do all of those things and
sure,
maintain
absolutely.
Social distancing. Yeah. I'm going to say not a thing. I'm going to say not a thing on the movement, because there are a lot of people who feel this way, and they feel obviously very strongly, they are also, as it seems to be, a very, very small but extremely vocal minority of the population of North Carolina. And we're seeing this in surveys of states all around the country. And I think even in Michigan, right, where the protest is much, much bigger, even there, judging from my Facebook friends, and my Facebook friends up in Michigan are not as I have not done a good job carefully cultivating a super far lefty collection of Facebook friends. It's just that I live in Chapel Hill and I come out of academia, and both of those things have a tendency to lead to having a lot of liberal Facebook friends. Well, all of my friends in Michigan are high school friends and family members and people where, you know, they're coming from a whole bunch of different political backgrounds. So I've got a lot of conservative friends, a lot of liberal friends, and the vast majority of them seem to be of the opinion that that this is ridiculous. And, you know, some are in favor of it, but most are not. And that seems to be the case. The vast majority of people are like, no, we're doing the right thing with the social distancing and the stay-at-home orders, and it sucks, and it's difficult, but it's unfortunately necessary. The one thing that I think is the thing that comes out of this is the reason that the protests are happening in the United States as opposed to other countries. Like, a lot of other countries, when you hear about, they've got the same stay-at-home orders, they've got the same restrictions, the same everything, and in a lot of countries, far, far fewer cases, just like a handful here and there, unlike the U.S., where we've got more deaths than any other country. But in those countries, the people are, for the most part, on all sides of the political spectrum, are perfectly willing to go along with the stay-at-home orders, accept the necessity of it, and so on. And I think part of the reason for that is that in those other countries, they have a social safety net. You can stay at home and not have that regular paycheck coming in like you usually do, and you're still okay because you still have health insurance. You still have all of this support from society at large. And in the U.S., we don't, because we, every time someone proposes it, there's this hard resistance from the right. And now we're in this situation where we all have to stay home. A lot of people are out of work. People aren't able to open up their businesses. People aren't able to go to work and spend the time there and get the paycheck. And that's killing people. Like, it's preventing them from making ends meet and paying rent and paying bills and eating and knowing where their next meal is going to come from. And that's the frustration that gives birth to this. And the way to address it is to build up the social safety net.
Well, that's exactly right, Aaron. And by the way, that's by and large how it's being reported in Europe. What's going on in the United States?
Right.
Is that this situation, which is not the doing of any individual or group, is revealing this gigantic crack in our system, this gaping hole in our system, in which our government, our society, the American society, is not well equipped for us to take care of each other in such a situation, even if we mean to, and we do mean to. Mm-hmm. The ease with which a $2+ trillion aid package was greased through Congress, and yet still is limping along with how the money is going out, and that some of it, you know, the funding that's going out for small businesses has been gobbled up by small businesses that shouldn't have been eligible, and so on and so on. These kinds of market force problems, these things are not happening in other countries. You can't look at the numbers in the United States, where the state of New York has more cases than any country in the world except the United States. Mm-hmm. You can't look at the rampant rise of this virus in our society and say, oh, well, we have the best healthcare system, we have the best this or that or whatever. It's just, you can't. The numbers are overwhelming proof that that's just not true.
Yeah. We've got to...
So that part, I agree with you, that part is the thing.
We've got to wrap up, unfortunately. Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
So this weekend we have, very happily so, Penny Rich with a a new program, and we've talked about kind of where Orange County is now and what happens next and how they're doing their evaluation process and you know, kind of where we go from here. It was a really terrific interview with her, and she's always a joy, as you know. She's my senior political correspondent.
Saturday at 9 a.m., Sunday at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 8 p.m., and you can get the full archive online at weekendwatercooler.com. Gene Bolduc, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.